Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. When kids in the impoverished Mojave Desert are rejected by the system and labeled as failures or dropouts, they're sent to the Black Rock Alternative School, where they find a safe and loving environment. The award-winning documentary film, The Bad Kids, chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and staff at Black Rock. Here is a clip of Black Rock's students.
I have one friend, but it's good that way, because when I had a lot of friends, I did bad, and I was doing bad things. I did a lot of drugs, and I had to take care of my baby brother and stuff, because my mom was never home.
If I get my high school diploma, I can turn my life around for the better. I mean, I really do want to get out of that trailer, and I don't want to keep using food stamps. I don't like using that as a crutch. I'm just using it because no one can really afford food in my house.
I remember sometime in the fourth grade, one of my teachers told me I would never amount to anything. So I kind of just like stuck with that I would never amount to anything. So I thought everything I did was just for no reason.
I get really bad stressing out to the point where like I do not talk to anybody or anything, or I just like try to block out everybody.
Anger builds up in me because my dad, like, he yell at me a lot of times. He want me to be a better person than he is. He just bring me down and I don't feel like living sometimes no more.
Oh my God, I'm 17 and pregnant. What am I gonna, I'm not even out of high school.
I don't want to be trapped anywhere. I don't want to ever be trapped in anything. I see a lot of people who are trapped in this town.
My mom is, I still don't know her address. I still don't know where
don't
she's at.
Don't care about
she's
what
somewhere.
Other people say. Yeah.
Everybody knows me to be a happy guy, smiling all the time, but I do feel sad.
My mom, she didn't finish high school.
My mom, I don't know where she is.
I'm a stubborn kid. That's first and foremost, that's basically why I'm here. I didn't want to do my work.
And that is a clip from the award-winning documentary film, The Bad Kids, which chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and staff at the Black Rock Alternative School in the impoverished Mojave Desert. The school is actually right next to Joshua Tree, and so many of us go to Joshua Tree. It's a beautiful part of the state, but how many of us actually know what is happening with the community in that area? The documentary is incredible. It airs tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock, and it really looks at how a caring educational environment can help break the cycle of poverty and neglect for students who come from poor and troubled backgrounds. And Vonda Wieland is the principal of Black Rock. She believes that we have the resources to solve so many of our problems. Instead of focusing on test scores and GPAs, she says schools need to look at students as whole persons. In the documentary, we watch Vonda get up at 3 in the morning to exercise, and then she drives to school to put a PowerPoint presentation together and then calls her students to wake them up. And if they don't have a ride, she will pick them up. And Vonda Wieland joins us from the Black Rock Alternative School. Hi, Vonda. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. It's so great to have you.
Well, I really appreciate you having us and putting a spotlight on all of our students' needs.
Well, in studio, we are joined by Daniel Moretti. He's Senior Manager of Engagement and Impact at ITVS, where he works with the Indie Lens pop-up program. That's a neighborhood series that brings people together for film screenings and conversations. Daniel has organized screenings of Bad Kids here in San Francisco and all over the country. In fact, he's been involved in 70 screenings across the country. And Daniel joins me in studio. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Great to have you. And Lois Vossen is Executive Producer for the weekly award-winning PBS series Independent Lens, and Lois also joins me in studio. Hi, Lois. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning. Great to be with you.
Well, Vonda, I just finished watching the film, and it's just so incredible. You are so inspiring. How did you get involved with working with the Black Rock Alternative School?
Well, I was originally the principal at the traditional high school here, and I found it quite personally unsatisfying. I spent my day doing paperwork and budgets and going to meetings, and I didn't get to spend any time with the students. I was hard-pressed just to go out and spend 10 minutes with them at any given time. And so after much reflection, I went to the superintendent and said, I need to go in the classroom where I belong. And at that time, the principal at the alternative school in our district heard that I was going into the classroom and called me and said, "You are a perfect fit for our school. Will you come work with us?" And so I went over and started teaching over at the alternative school in 29 Palms and absolutely fell in love with the kids and the program. And then when that current principal retired, I stepped into his shoes.
Why did you decide to take on such a huge responsibility? What drew you to this job?
You know, if you spend any time with our kids, you can't resist. I mean, there's no saying no to them because they are so passionate about wanting to improve their lives and move forward that you're willing to do anything you can to help them.
Tell us a little bit about this community, because when I read that you were in the Mojave Desert, I just looked up the school to see where it is on the map. Being in Northern California, I feel kind of disconnected from Southern California and saw that it's right next to Joshua Tree. And it got me thinking that, you know, so many people from Northern California love to go to Joshua Tree for the beauty, and it's just such a gorgeous place. And I'm guessing that a lot of people who drive through Joshua Tree don't really know much about the community around it.
That's true, because we, you know, the beauty of the desert is so intense that we get focused on that we forget about the people that live right here. A large portion of our population lives below the poverty line. Currently at our school, we have 97% on free lunches. So it's a population where there aren't a lot of jobs available for the community members, and there's not a lot of hope for a lot of the students who live here.
And how do the students end up at the Black Rock Alternative School? It's for 11th and 12th graders.
That's correct. We have only 11th and 12th graders here, and they are students who would not be able to graduate at the high school for one reason or another. They've fallen too far behind in credits, whether it be, you know, they had family issues or attendance issues or drug and alcohol issues or disciplinary issues, but they've just fallen so far behind in their credits that there's no way statistically for them to graduate at the traditional high school.
And a lot of them feel kind of shunned by society, like they just don't fit in.
They really do. You know, society says that they are the bad kids. And I know many people are offended when they first hear the title of the movie. You know, how can you label those kids, you know, the bad kids? And it is not us who has labeled them, it's society. And how the name came about is we were actually interviewing a teacher, and we'd asked the question of, you know, how do you see the continuation school student, and he said as a joke, well, that they're the bad kids. You know, everyone knows that the bad kids go to the school. And he was being facetious, but that really is how community looks at them. And so we really try to work hard to overcome that label. And through the movie naming it the bad kids, it's almost allowed the kids to reclaim that title and to not have a stigma attached to it.
And Black Rock is really their last chance to earn a high school diploma, right?
It really is. If they don't make it with us, unfortunately, they would be labeled as a dropout. And, you know, we work really hard to prevent that label, because that label is debilitating. Once they are given that label, then they just completely give up.
So many things struck me in the film, but one was when you were talking to kids about discipline, and you tell these kids that this is a self-paced program, there's no detentions. Can you talk a little bit about how you deal with discipline and how you came to this decision?
Absolutely. I stress with the teachers on a daily basis that there is power in positive. And as such, we do not have any punishments here, because punishments don't teach, they only punish. Mm. So if we really, truly want to teach students, we need to meet with them on their level and get to know them as a person and work with them on what their needs are. And so instead of saying, you know, oh, you make a mistake, you're punished or you're kicked out of school, we say, okay, you've made a mistake, how can we make that better? And we do a lot of counseling instead of, you know, saying, you know, you're just going to be kicked out. Now, what I say in the movie is to the kids is that we kind of run it like a business where, you know, ultimately there are standards that you have to live by, and you have to choose to live by those standards. And if you're not going to choose to live by those standards after being given all sorts of positive reinforcement and all sorts of counseling opportunities, if you're still choosing not to do it, then you're not ready. And at that point in time, then you're going to have to find another alternative.
And that is Vonda Veland. She's the principal of the Black Rock Alternative School. And the Black Rock Alternative School is featured in the new documentary, The Bad Kids, which chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and the staff at the school. And it's airing tonight on Independent Lens, PBS, at 10 o'clock. And you can find more information about the film at yourcallradio.org. Lois, you are executive producer of Independent Lens. You're lucky enough to really work with a lot of amazing documentaries. What was it about The Bad Kids that really stood out for you?
Well, you just heard one of the reasons why. I mean, Vonda is an extraordinary person. And what we're always looking for is how we can tell great stories through great characters. And by that, I mean ordinary, extraordinary people who really illuminate these issues that face our society and our culture. And the filmmakers, Lou and Keith, who couldn't be with us today because they're in Spain making their next film, found Vonda and found the school, and it just was the perfect match for what Independent Lens tries to do in terms of character-driven stories that bring these issues to light.
And Daniel, you work with the Indie Lens pop-up program, and you have put together screenings across the country, 70 screenings so far, and we'll talk about the reaction you got from the audience. But first off, what really struck you about this film?
I think what struck me about this film is really seeing the stories, I think the youth empowerment aspect, hearing from the youth directly and hearing their stories of what were some of the challenges but how they're overcoming it. And for me, you know, working in community engagement, really looking at stories that I think have the ability to bring collaboration across different sectors, so in this case across educators, youth, as well as service providers. So for me, that really stood out, and it's something that we really saw translate over to screenings as well.
It's incredible to see the students welcome the filmmakers into their lives and share so many personal details about their lives and really intense struggles. And Vonda, tell us a little bit about some of the kids. You've got Lee, a new father who can't support his family. Jennifer, a young woman grappling with sexual abuse. She says that she was raped by her grandmother's father. She was raised by her grandma. And then you have Joey, who comes from an unstable home. His father's in jail. His mom uses meth. And he's an aspiring musician. You know, what struck me about this is I thought, this is not unique to the Mojave Desert. I mean, I'm sure I have friends who teach in San Francisco, and they tell me stories like this. But we don't often have honest conversations in society about these problems.
I think that we as a society often feel if we don't look and we don't talk about it, then it doesn't exist. You know, and I think that what this film does is it puts a spotlight on that these students are struggling with real issues. You know, they don't want to fail. They don't want to be discipline problems. I've never met a child who, you know, wakes up and says, you know, I just want to be a failure today. They're calling out for help because of the trauma that's in their lives. And it's not unique to our school or to our area. It happens everywhere. And so the more that we can talk about the reality of their existence, then we can start to find some solutions to their problems.
And these, like you said, these are not unique. When you got your first job as a principal, as an educator, what prepared you for this? Because not only are you a principal, but you pick up kids, you counsel the kids, you talk to them like an adult who actually cares. You're trying to find sexual assault counselors, for example. You're talking with other kids about struggles to deal with their own children. I mean, we hear this from a lot of teachers. They're not just a teacher. They're a counselor. They're a cab driver. They bring in food. Can you just talk about, you know, how you went through the preparation process for this?
You know, I don't think that there is anything that can prepare you. For me, what helped the most is I taught at the middle school level for 11 years, and the middle school student, you know, is more open and straightforward about what's going on. And so I was able to, you know, get an eye-opening as to what their lives were like and be able to help them a little bit. But I think one of the things that the university systems need to do with educators and in training future educators is to start having them address these issues and letting the teachers know that they're going to be having all these issues within a classroom that they're going to have to address before they can ever get to the curriculum. Dr. Turner, who is our assistant superintendent in our district, and I have recently written a book called Lessons from the Bad Kids. Hmm. And we're hoping to work with universities across the nation in having that be a reading assignment for new teachers, because it does let them see that there will be kids in their classrooms who suffer with anxiety and depression. There will be kids who are suicidal. There will be kids who are drug addicts or who are affected by drug addiction. You know, all of the things that you see in the movie are going to exist everywhere.
And how do you bring that into the school? Because we recently had a young man on the show who said that he was dealing with so many issues at home. His parents were also addicted to drugs. And he said they never talked about any of these issues at school. And that was really difficult for him.
Well, and that's one of the things that, you know, I think that's going to have to happen in society, is that we lower the class sizes so that teachers can have the ability to have those conversations with kids and develop the relationship where the kids feel safe enough to go to them with a problem. So many times the kids don't feel like they have anyone to talk with. I'm working currently with the two principals at our traditional schools here to develop some type of a homeroom program in their schools so that the students can make a connection outside the curriculum with a positive adult figure. Because if we don't give opportunity to do that within the school day, then those issues will continue to go unaddressed.
Vonda Wieland is the principal of the Black Rock Alternative School. It is featured in the award-winning documentary, The Bad Kids, which chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and the staff there. And this is in an impoverished Mojave Desert community. It's right next to Joshua Tree, population 8,272 in Southern California. So many of these kids are struggling with poverty and homelessness, sexual assault. And we're also joined by Daniel Moretti, Senior Manager of Engagement and Impact at ITVS, and he has put together 70 screenings of this documentary across the country. Later in the show, we'll talk about how the students and the audiences react to this film. And Lois Vossen is executive producer for the weekly award-winning PBS series Independent Lens. And I hope you can watch it. It airs tonight, PBS, at 10 p.m., and then it'll be online in about a week or so. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. If you are a teacher, an educator, and this sounds very familiar to you, working with and teaching kids who are struggling, how do you deal with these very real struggles that kids are seeing at home and dealing with at home? And how would you like to change curriculum so kids can actually talk about what they're facing? You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Let's hear another clip from The Bad Kids. And this is Jennifer, who in the film talks about how her grandmother raised her and that her dad is actually mad at her for graduating early.
When I was younger, my mom just, like, left. I don't know where she went. I just started living with my grandma. My dad, my real dad, just been in and out of my life. He's never really been there for me. And then when I was in grade school, my grandma's husband molested me. I was probably the most depressed teenager. I just don't think teenagers are supposed to be that depressed. We can't control the events that happen to us, but we can choose not to be reduced by them. I'm just gonna be strong, not somebody that's gonna let what happened to them break them.
You said there was drama the other night.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, it was like, I wouldn't feel as responsible if he would just stop popping up, like not still doing stuff to still hurt my grandma. Like, I feel like it's my fault a lot of the time.
Okay, but Jennifer, we've talked about this before. Do you want your grandma with somebody who, first of all, does things like that to you, but secondly, who treats her that way?
If I would have just dealt with what he was doing to me and never told my grandma, he wouldn't...
Honey.
Like, I just feel like it's my fault. Like, I could have just dealt with it without having my grandma to deal with it.
No. Honey. Let me ask you this. If I got one of the counselors, but somebody, like a sexual assault counselor, because this is, it's common. It's common that the victims feel that responsibility, and they shouldn't. It's not, you can't, it's never the victim's fault. You were the victim. You're the child. You are not the adult.
Feel like it. I want to be more focused on school, and I feel like I'm really, really trying, because I really, really want to graduate this year. I couldn't go to school yesterday, because I don't like people here seeing me break down.
So honey, we see all break down here. That's what's great about it, is that you can break down here.
I know. I can break down to you here, but not...
The kids all do, and we see every... I mean, you see it. Everyone here who goes here has something. That's why they go here.
I know.
And that is a clip from the documentary The Bad Kids. It airs tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock, focuses on the Black Rock Alternative School, which is in the impoverished Mojave Desert. And in the clip, you heard Jennifer and Vonda Wieland, who's the principal of Black Rock. Vonda, are you still in touch with Jennifer in the film? Again, she said her dad was mad at her for graduating early.
Yeah, you know, we often become surrogate parents here, and so even after a student graduates or sometimes doesn't graduate with us, we try to stay in contact and stay available to them to assist them throughout life. And so Jennifer and I speak pretty regularly. She is about 8 months out from getting her nursing degree. She received a full ride scholarship to Ogden University and has been very successful in the program there. She still suffers, from low self-esteem, and so we sometimes have to give her that pep talk. But we're very proud of her and how well she's been doing.
Hmm. Daniel, during the screenings, what reaction do you receive from the audience about Jennifer's story?
Yeah, I think what really resonates from Jennifer's story was when we did a screening in San Francisco with youth from Hilltop High School, which is a school for pregnant and parenting teens in San Francisco, is a lot of people shared that, like we see with Jennifer, that there's challenges, but they can overcome them. And that they see, you know, that their own story, it's seeing their own story on screen. And I think that's a very powerful thing to, you know, have that acknowledged and have, you know, stories where it's not that the youth are living perfect lives, that there are challenges and there are obstacles, but, you know, that there's really some strong personalities coming through.
And Lois, what are you hearing? Because we often talk about youth, but we don't often hear youth telling their own stories.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things about this film. There are lots of films about education and sort of the breakdown in terms of how to reach out to young people. But what was so wonderful about this film was the fact that the children got to empower themselves and tell their own stories. And so while we have strong people like Vonda present in the film really is told from the perspective of the kids. They're the major characters who talk about their lives. And as I listen to those clips again, I'm struck by the fact that I grew up in a household where education was really valued. I had parents who wanted me to go to school, encouraged me, and to imagine what it would be like to live their life where they are up against obstacles from the minute they wake up, if they have a place to wake up. It really does make you think, you know, there but for the grace of God. And those kids are so empowering in terms of their ability to just keep pushing and moving forward. And we, like Vonda, always want to know what's happened to them after the documentary ends. And so we often try to check in as well and try to do a follow-up for our viewers who get really engaged with these kids in their lives.
Vonda, do you know if Jennifer has seen the film?
Oh, yes, many times. She has gone out with Lou and Keith to do screenings for schools and communities. She, is a real good role model for the at-risk youth to show that you can overcome your past and do anything you choose to do.
What's it been like for the other kids to see their stories told in this film?
You know, of course, initially it's a shock to see yourself on film for the adults and the students in the movie. But once again, many times the students who are in the film have gone out to different screenings to speak to the other at-risk students. Lee and Layla are currently at our community college, and they are still together parenting. And Lou and Keith, the filmmakers, have set up a college fund for their little boy so that he won't have to have the same anxiety and worries later on in life. AJ, who did the music for the end credits, He is at the Art Institute getting his musical engineering degree, and he has also gotten a record deal based on the film. And then Joey, I'm so proud to say, is clean and sober, and he recently went out in December to the premiere in L.A. with us, and it was so wonderful for me to see him be able to conquer that fear of going out in front of an audience to face, you know, his past and where he's come from, and to be proud of the fact that he is clean and sober, and to realize what a difficulty that is, you know, and it's an accomplishment to be proud of. You know, initially he was worried about people saying, oh, well, you're nothing because you're not a high school graduate, and for him to see the response and the love from people and the pride that they have in him for getting clean was very transforming for him and for me.
Wow, that's amazing. Again, Joey's dad is in jail and his mom's addicted to meth. I don't want to give everything away, but at one point, Joey talked about sleeping on a recliner outside of a friend's shed, and he was wearing the same clothes for 2 weeks. So, wow, it's amazing to hear how well he's doing now. That is Vonda Velin, principal of the Black Rock Alternative School, which is in the impoverished Mojave Desert. And the new documentary, The Bad Kids, chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and the staff there. And I hope you can see this documentary. It debuts tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock, and then it'll be online in about a week. We're also joined by Lois Vossen, executive producer of Independent Lens, and Daniel Moretti works with the Indie Lens pop-up program. This is Your Call, and we'll be back after this.
You are listening to Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. That's toll-free, 866-798-8255. And you can post a comment or question at yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Coming up at 11, the Peabody Award-winning program from the Center for Investigative Reporting, Reveal. Stay with us.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are talking about a new documentary called The Bad Kids. It chronicles the day-to-day struggles of students and staff at the Black Rock Alternative School. Kids who go to the school are rejected by the system and labeled as failures or dropouts. But when they get to the school, they find a very safe and loving environment, thanks to the principal and the teachers who work there. And today we're joined by Vonda Velin. She is principal of Black Rock. One of the most incredible scenes in the film, we watch Vonda get up at 3 a.m. to jump rope, and then she drives to school to put a presentation together and then calls students to wake them up. And if they don't have a ride, she picks them up. That's how dedicated she is. We're also joined by Lois Vossen, executive producer for Independent Lens, and Daniel Moretti. He works with Indie Lens pop-up program. He's put together 70 screenings of the Bad Kids across the country, and it airs tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock. And if you'd like to join us, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. If you're an educator or a parent, what changes would you like to see? So we can really talk to kids about what they're dealing with at home and be sure that they have the services that they need. You can also email feedback at yourcallradio.org. Vonda, speaking of services, there are a lot of services for young people here in the Bay Area. What is it like in the Mojave Desert?
It's very difficult to get services. Our school district buses from a 50-mile radius, and we are 45 minutes from any metropolis. Our nearest homeless shelter is 90 miles away. So pretty much we are it for the kids.
And at a time when we're having this education debate, I mean, over the last 5 years, teachers have really been under assault. And once in a great while, you'll hear from a teacher in the national media, but it's pretty rare. And now we have Betsy DeVos, who is the education secretary, pushing for charter and religious-based schools. So as someone who sees these kids turn their lives around, what changes would you like to see?
Well, I'd like to see us invest in the public school system so that all students, regardless of their monetary background, have an equal opportunity for an education. And I think that the best way to do that, I mentioned earlier, is to create a smallness or a sense of community at the school. So even if you have a larger school, they have a school within a school, or that the teachers at least have smaller class sizes so that they can work more one-on-one with kids.
And what changes have you seen since this film has been released? I'm sure you're hearing from educators across the country.
Honestly, we're fearful as to what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if you take away funding from the public schools to help charters or private schools, obviously it's going to be more and more difficult for us to meet the students' needs. And we also, of course, struggle with the validity of test scores. When you have a testing done at the junior level and the juniors know that their score on the test does not affect their graduation, there's no buy-in or no reason to do well on that test. It doesn't mean that they're incompetent or they can't read or they can't do the stuff. There's just no reason for them to invest in it.
Hmm. Danielle, what did you hear, or what have you been hearing from educators when you screened the film about the changes they'd like to see?
Yeah, I think that one really powerful thing that we've been hearing from educators is how they can learn from what they're seeing in the film and how it can be applied in their own teaching practices. We worked with Vonda and with some curriculum writers called Blue Shift to develop an educator toolkit. So we have resources online that will have video modules from the film that can be used to really look at some of the core themes. So as Vonda mentioned, building trusting relationships with adults, resilience, how effects of trauma affect students, really looking at the stories in the film and how that can then translate to ways that they can take some of the principles and the cultural practices at Black Rock into their schools. Mm-hmm. So I think overall, really what we're hearing from educators is how they can work together to build safer and more inclusive and more responsive schools and communities for all students.
And Lois.
And if I may.
Oh, sure, Vonda.
If I may. I think that we need to ask the kids and include the students in the conversation, because honestly, if you ask them what they need to succeed, they'll tell you. They'll tell you what their life stories are. They'll tell you the hardships that they're encountering, and they'll very straightforwardly tell you, this is what we need to do for this school to be a success.
And Lois, what would you add?
Well, I would just say that our hope, and I hope this is true for Vonda as well, is that the film will bring light to the issue and get people engaged in the conversation. As you said earlier, oftentimes it's just not talked about. And there are lots of issues here. Obviously, there are the struggles of the parents who may have their own issues with drug addiction. But at the end of the day, what we're really trying to do is help this generation mm-hmm. lift themselves up out of the situations that they were made a party of. Not through their own doing. And I think, as Vonda said, getting them engaged and asking them, how can we help you, is really at the core of that work.
And Vonda, at a time when social services are so needed, we just saw the Republican budget, the Trump budget last week, it just slash so many important services, including before and after school programs. What would you say to policymakers?
You know, I became nauseous when I read that. I mean, they really truly are out of touch mm-hmm. with their constituents. They really need to get out there and see what's going on in these students' lives. They need to go meet with the students. They need to get in and realize that the students don't want to fail. They don't want to be a burden on society. And I've said this before in other interviews, but they truly are an untapped resource. And if we don't invest in them now, we're going to invest in them later in social services or in correctional institutions. You know, so the legislators need to realize that we can solve the problem at the start before it becomes greater later on. And it will be a cost-saving tool in the long run.
And we know a lot of public schools are struggling. Sometimes teachers have to buy their own school supplies or bring in food for their students. What is it like for alternative schools like Black Rock?
Yeah. Thankfully, the staff and I, you know, these become our kids, and so we support them. I don't go 2 days without buying shoes for a student, or I keep a bowl in the office with deodorant and toothpaste and shampoo and all the things that, you know, we provide for our kids at home without even thinking about. So it is financially, emotionally, physically draining.
You don't go 2 days without buying shoes?
No, shoes or clothes or something. You know, it breaks your heart when you have a 17-year-old walk in with holes in their shoes and they live in the desert.
Wow, I mean, this just says so much about the priorities of this country.
It really does. And like I said, you know, we need to start putting the horse before the cart. We need to start, you know, addressing the issue in the school systems where we have all of the kids. Mm.
I know we have to let you go, Vonda, because you need to be at a student luncheon and you can't miss it. This is going to really raise awareness about you and your school and the students. What are you hoping comes from all of these screenings and awareness?
Well, you know, I hope that the bigger picture is that we are able to start the conversations in other school districts and look at, you know, there's all sorts of small things that can be done to help the students, you know, using partial credit rather than whole credit, having a self-paced program mixed in with directed instruction. There's all sorts of structural things that we in education can do to get the system out of the student's way.
Get the system out.
Yeah, exactly, because too often it's the system that holds these kids back. It's not that they can't do the work. It's that we hold them back because they have to be in a classroom from September to January or January to June. You know, we really, if we looked at what is important for them to be able to do and we teach those skills and the kids can master those skills, why are we holding them back? So that's first and foremost. Of course, for my own kids, I've been very thankful for people who have gone to our GoFundMe account and have helped the teachers and I with buying the shoes for the kids and all the basic needs for the kids. And we're working hard to set up scholarships for our kids because we have worked really hard on transitioning our students to our community college. We actually have a higher percentage of our students than the traditional high school who go out there to take the next step. So we continue to work on creating scholarship opportunities to make that happen.
Oh, and I'm glad you brought that up because now we're actually having a conversation about free college in this country, free community college, free college. If we had free college for public schools across the country, Vonda, how would that affect your kids?
It would solve a lot of the problem because it would give them hope. You know, because right now they just feel like it's just too big of a step, that they're fearful that they're not going to be able to afford it because they see on the news and they hear continually that people are going into all this debt for college, and so they feel that avenue is completely closed to them. So if they had free community college, it would give them the next step on their journey.
Well, Vonda, thank you so much for joining us. I wish I could give you a hug to thank you for the amazing work you've done, and we'd love to have you back on the show to talk about your new book, Lessons from the Bad Kids.
I look forward to that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
That is Vonda Velan. She's principal of the Black Rock Alternative School, which is in the Mojave Desert right next to Joshua Tree. And the new documentary, The Bad Kids, chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and the staff at the school. And it debuts on PBS tonight at 10 o'clock, and it'll be online next week. I hope you can watch it. We're also joined by Lois Vossen, executive producer for Independent Lens, and Daniel Moretti. He works with the Indie Lens pop-up program, and they have brought the screening to 70 different communities across the country. And if you'd like to join us, if you're an educator, a teacher, a parent who sees these issues in schools, what changes would you like to see? Vonda said something that really struck me. Get the system out of the way so the teachers and the principals can decide what is best for the students that they see and work with every single day. 866-798-8255. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org. Lois, the other thing that struck me is just hearing Vonda say that she buys shoes and clothes, and I mean, this is not sustainable.
Not sustainable. The fact that we expect our teachers to also be parenting and providing all the supplies, not just in the schoolroom, which is in and of itself outrageous, but also for the kids to actually be able to live. It is not sustainable. And they're very, I mean, teachers don't earn a lot of money, as we know.
Right.
We already have them at a disadvantage in terms of their financial situation. But I do think it speaks to the commitment of teachers mm-hmm. and principals in terms of how much they want their kids to excel.
Daniel?
Yeah, I think one thing that this really brings up for me is we had a partner in Labette Community College who did a screening, and they actually partnered with the Youth Crisis Center, and they used their screening as a drive to collect some of these items that Vonda was mentioning in terms of shoes, hygiene materials, because as you mentioned, sometimes it falls on the shoulders of the educators. So if there's ways that educators and service providers might be able to work together and really, you know, collaborate to support these students, that I think that that's really the direction to move towards. And I think the film is really a strong way to show a model of how that could potentially happen in different communities.
Right, and I'm seeing so many more GoFundMe campaigns mm-hmm. by teachers who need a new carpet or books or shoes. The list goes on and on.
Exactly. The other thing that Vonda spoke to that I think is really important, and we alluded to it earlier, is this is not a local issue.
Right.
This is certainly not just an issue in Southern California in the Mojave Desert or even in California. It's a national issue, and what we hope is with all of our films on independent lens to spark conversations so that people can start to connect the dots. And with people like Vonda, how can we share that information so that one community can help another community? How can one school help another school? How can one state help another state?
And again, the Bad Kids will be available sometime next
online,
week?
Tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
okay.
It begins streaming the morning after our broadcast premiere. So we'll premiere tonight at 10 o'clock, and people can watch it online at pbs.org/independent lens starting tomorrow morning.
Great. And if you're an educator, it would be amazing to show it to your students. And then along with the film, you have tools and resources that educators can use.
We do. Daniel and his team put together this remarkable toolkit.
Yeah, and the toolkit, it's really kind of has two components. There's a section for professional development, so really focused on educators and trainings that can help with their own professional development career. And then we also have classroom lessons. So it's ways that excerpts from the film can really be used with educators and their students. So lesson plans, and they're kind of focusing on four different topic areas that really resonate in the film that really all kind of are under the umbrella of creating safer and more inclusive and responsive schools for students at risk of not graduating.
Now, you have been involved in 70 screenings all over the country, one in San Francisco. What, after 70 screenings with a conversation after the film, what stands out for you the most? Are you seeing any themes?
Yeah, and we work with a network of partners that are really producing the screenings across the country on the ground. So public television stations, public libraries, community colleges. I'm not unfortunately at every single screening, but we're hearing from our partners. You know, the response was with the audience conversation. I'll speak to the screening that we did in San Francisco because I think it was so powerful. We had about 200 people, and about half of them were high school students. And we had a group of about 30 high school students that I mentioned before from Hilltop High School, which is for parenting and pregnant teens. And they had their children with them. And it's, you know, rare that they're able to come to a community event where childcare is not an obstacle. And we had, before the screening, powerful youth performances from a group called Youth Speaks, where youth were telling their own stories. And they saw in the film Joey, who is expressing himself through music. And I was speaking to one student afterwards, and she said, you know, after seeing these remarkable, you know, youth her age using art as their own outlet, that she's going to start to look into that as a way for self-expression. Mm-hmm. And really what resonated for her was she heard in the film one of the protagonists, Lee, he says, "How can others believe in me when I don't believe in myself?" And she said, "I'm from here, I'm believing in myself. And, you know, I'm going to look at ways that I can support me believing in myself."
The other thing that about the film that I think probably speaks to students is the students in The Bad Kids come from such a diverse background. Mm-hmm. You have Latinos, Blacks, whites, I'm sure other races. Mm-hmm. And so that's... I'm glad that that's the case because it speaks to so many different
Definitely.
Groups of people. But the other thing is, you know, breaking the cycle.
Yeah.
Because in some cases, parents are addicted to drugs. Maybe their parents were addicted and they've got poverty, intergenerational yeah. poverty. And so that's the other big question that the film asks is how do you break this cycle?
Right. Well, first of all, poverty doesn't know any barriers
right.
in terms of who it impacts. From, you know, every community is impacted by it. But I think that is the overall takeaway of the film is that we can change the cycle. If we decide to invest our energy, our time, it's all about us and what we decide to do, where we put our priorities. Vonda said it so eloquently, you can address a problem now mm-hmm. or you can address it later. Mm-hmm. The problem will be the problem until you deal with it. Usually smarter to address the problem early on before it compounds and becomes a deeper problem.
And instead of talking about the bad teachers, we should spend more time in this society talking about principals and teachers like Vonda, who call the kids in the morning, wake up, Joey, are you up yet? Do you need a ride today? And they go pick them up.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's just an incredible reminder, again, of the resilience of yeah. these young people. Mm. They don't want to settle for a life that's a bad kid's life. They want to make something of their life, but they do need help to do it. And I think that's the, you know, we have to accept the fact that we're here to help each other when people need help.
Right. And it's not about individuality. It's more about collective action. Let's take a call before we have to end. Let's hear from Daya in San Francisco. Hi, Daya. Welcome to the show.
Hi, great show. I have two thoughts. One, there are lots of little innovative projects around the country looking at trauma. So I feel like this is a trend, and I'm so delighted that they're going to be working with teacher training, because I think this is going to be the next trend in education, how we recognize trauma and help students work through it. And also I want to say that it's so refreshing to hear from a principal, from a school, that the whole school is on board. I can tell you I've been in education for 25 years, and there's so many consultants from the business community that come in, make a big pile of money to tell us all the things we're doing wrong and all the ways they can help us change what we're doing wrong. And I think that we know what we're doing. And, you know, as I hear this principal that's buying shoes for her students out of her own pocket, not with an industry budget, but on a teacher's budget, I think the rest of the community really needs to start listening to teachers, supporting students, and caring about these projects rather than telling teachers all the things they're doing wrong.
Right. And then also offering the support they need, both human support and also financial support.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for calling in, Daya. We definitely want to have Vonda back to talk about her new book. What's next for the film? It's airing tonight, and then it's online tomorrow.
Right.
What are your plans for it?
Well, I think that the audience will sort of dictate what will happen to the film. I mean, obviously, our goal is always for the films to go far and wide and for people to use the incredible resources that Daniel and his team have put together for educators. I mean, we feel very committed to having our films have as much impact and use on the ground. What's interesting and unique about Independent Lens is we're obviously a broadcast series, but we do have this incredible initiative called Indie Lens Pop-Up, where we screen our films, not every film, but about 7 or 8 films a year in 70 communities around the country leading up to the broadcast. And we do that specifically so people can sort of own the film and take it on, and local people can use that film in the work that they're doing on a local level. So that's obviously what we hope will happen, both on a, you know, the highest level in terms of policymakers will see the film and be moved by it, but also that people in communities everywhere will feel empowered to do something in their community.
And it's great to hear that the students in the film are now going to the screenings and feel empowered by sharing their stories.
Absolutely.
And letting people know where they are today.
Absolutely.
Have you seen that in action?
Unfortunately, I haven't been able to be at any of the screenings where the protagonists from the film were there. But just one note in terms of what we'll be focusing on kind of after the broadcast, at least from the ITVS side, is we're really focusing on getting the resources for educators out into the community and out to educators. The film is part of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting's initiative called American Graduate, which is a national campaign to address the dropout crisis. Mm. And so Vonda tomorrow actually is going to be on a webinar teaching training over 100 educators on how to use the film and the free tools in the classroom for both classroom lessons and professional development. So we'll really be working with a network of public television stations, community partners, to really get this into the hands of educators and have the film continue on.
Great, and hopefully politicians. Lois, do you know how the filmmakers found this school?
I used to know it.
So they were commissioned to do a series of short films, I think, by Participant Media, focusing on education. And I believe that they walked through the doors of Black Rock and they knew that there was a larger story there.
They said, this is a bigger yeah. film.
Oh, I'm so it's glad not a they short said film. That.
So, yeah. Exactly.
And what is the status of funding right now for films like this?
Well, you know, we're continuing to do the work we're doing. We're very proud of the films that we have out in the world. Our film, I Am Not Your Negro, is in theaters right now.
Great film.
And we're continuing to fund films like that every day. And we will continue to fund great films like that and bring them to the American public on PBS.
Are you going to be hit by these cuts if they go through?
We're going to continue to do the great work we're doing.
Okay, good answer. final thoughts on this film and just the changes that you're seeing and raising awareness about the realities that young people are going through. You don't have to go to a rural part of the country, although that's fine. This is in California. What is it, the eighth largest economy in the world?
Yeah.
A state with so much wealth.
Yeah, I think from my perspective, like something that just, you know, kind of as a parting thought is a student said it at a screening and they said, the bad kids, there's no such thing as a bad kid. Mm-hmm. And really knowing that these are issues that affect all communities, and whether you're a parent or an educator or, you know, an uncle or an aunt, that if you are connected to youth in some way, that you can join the conversation, that there is ways to get involved, to support or to, you know, help support initiatives that are doing work to support youth that are at risk of not graduating.
And I have been fortunate to be at a couple of screenings where Vonda and or some of the kids have been at, but I can guarantee you that watching the film tonight on Independent Lens or streaming it at PBS.org, you'll have the same response to it. You don't need to meet them in person to be deeply moved by their stories.
And again, it'll be online tomorrow. And if you're an educator, I hope you can show the film to your students. And there is a component online with resources and tools to use in the classroom.
Great. Come to Independent Lens website. You'll find it all there.
Yes. And you can also find it at yourcallradio.org. Lois Vossen is executive producer for Independent Lens, and Daniel Moretti works with Indie Lens Pop-Up. It's a program that brings people together for screenings and conversations. And so far, they've had 70 screenings of The Bad Kids across the country. The Bad Kids premieres tonight on PBS at 10 o'clock, and it chronicles the day-to-day struggles of the students and staff at the Black Rock Alternative School in the impoverished Mojave Desert. It's an incredible film. I hope you can see it. Lois and Daniel, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's been wonderful.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. And thank you for listening. Your Call is produced here at KALW. If you'd like to listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Malihe Razazan produced today's show. Stephanie Porcel is our intern. Phil Hartman is our chief engineer, and David LaTulipe is our studio engineer. You can email us, feedback@yourcallradio.org. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's Your Call. Thanks for joining us.